I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. How about you? Here we've got someone from area code 641. Hi, you're on. Let me click that again. There you go. 641, you're on.
Glenda, this
yes.
is Betty Ann.
Hi, Betty Ann.
Am I coming through clearly?
You're beautiful.
Okay. Glenda, for years I have been listening to teachings, joining practices, techniques, doing affirmations regarding true forgiveness and love.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really, really still have not found is the personal experience, the true inner feeling, the true knowing that cannot be overshadowed, experiencing, knowing, and the feeling of forgiveness and love. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what I've missed. I'm still lost. Can you help?
This is what we're here to do, my darling. This is what we're here to do. And every time you receive a blessing from Christ or the Holy Spirit, it takes one layer at a time off. But one thing to keep in mind as you seek these things is that ultimately you are the receiver of that blessing. It has nothing to do with the other person. And the other person doesn't have to get better or be restored to whatever harm they caused you or you caused them. The situations and the circumstances that drive us to seek forgiveness, whether we were the one who feels at fault or whether we feel we were the one who was victimized, doesn't matter. It's a story. It's a situation. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean it isn't true. Just for me to say it's a story. It's a story because like any good, well, let's don't use the good biography. It has a plot line. It has a plot. It has characters. It has a development of a situation that is contributed to by other persons and by other factors involved in that story. As long as it's so hard. I have given several webinars on this subject because it's really so hard to stay attached to the story but forgive the outcome of the story. The outcome of the story, of any story, is implicit in the thing itself. And you cannot change the outcome and hold on to the story. We need to step outside that and say, I've had that experience. It's taught me. Perhaps it's nurtured me. Perhaps it gave me challenge that I could use for the betterment of my life. But I want something better for my future. And I think one of the most important things you can ask yourself is, what would I rather have for my future? And then let God release you from the past, layer by layer by layer, until one day it's just there. You look out the window and it's gone. That's been my experience. And that's probably the most direct answer I could give you. I hope it helps.
Well, I hope so too, because there's been so much physical, intellectual, and mental grief and pain. I almost cannot imagine something better that doesn't feel like a make-believe, a fiction. It just doesn't feel real or true.
Oh, well, now there's where, you see, you are holding on to this pain, this grief, and this agony as the truth of your life. As long as you do that, it will remain attached to you. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to see that that was actually the fiction.
Yes. So what do I replace it with?
whatever you hold to be better. And it's entirely up to you.
I know. Imagining something better.
Go ahead.
One has to have some kind of past glimmer of something better. No?
No, you don't.
Okay.
The future does not have to come from the past.
So where do I grab onto some better future if I'm right now really in physical and emotional sorrow and grief?
Find some small evidence of love and make it get larger. Find some small presence of light and fan it into a larger light. And do it without asking permission from anything or anybody. Because the one thing you can count on is you already have God's permission to expand love and light in your life. And you don't need anyone else's permission.
So I don't need to ask Yeshua or Divine Mother or anyone?
No one.
Help?
No.
Uh-huh. That's different. I just do it from myself because I want it?
Because if it's love and if it's light, yes. Because you already have the presence of God inside you. You were created in the image of God, and you've already been given God's permission to create more light and more love in this world. You don't need to keep asking for permission to do that. Now, if you want to have an extended counseling session on this, you know where to find me. But we have some other callers who have questions, and I think everybody has benefited by your question and my answer. So let's let it rest at that point, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have another caller from area code 858, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Kathy in Fallbrook.
Hi.
I did want to respond briefly to what she was saying because it was very illuminating. And I think hopefully in this call there is that spark of love that can grow for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it also reminds me a little of Mother Teresa's 20-year, you know, experience of kind of spiritual barrenness and how she just kept showing up, doing the hard work. And
mm-hmm.
that was enough for
exactly.
her to ultimately have that experience return.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
We've already been given God's permission to love and to be a light in the world. And Yeshua only came to remind us of that. He came to remind us that we need to take the covering off of our light so that it can shine. We need to love one another. We need to love God. It's already there. We were created to do that. He came to remind us. We don't have to ask anyone else's permission to do that. And most especially, not your past. Your past is your past, whatever it was. Good, bad, or boring. Fertile or barren. Doesn't matter. Your past is your past.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason that I raised my hand was just to thank you for the Thanksgiving message. It was so nice to see your sweet angelic face and have that sense of a face-to-face communication. So I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated it. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Would you like to see more videos, like when I talk about things, our newsletter and products and stuff?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I'm working on learning how to do that, growing into the new technical generation. The world keeps turning, as we know. So we have to join the kids and let them teach us.
Right.
Okay, we have another caller from area code 780, and you're on. Hi.
Hey, Glenda. It's Desmond. And
hey.
I thought that question that she had talked about was really inspiring. What it makes me think of is living every day with gratitude, appreciation, and forgiveness, like the practices that Yeshua asks us to do mm-hmm. daily, like forgiveness and stuff. I was wondering mm-hmm. if, you know, asking, I know that one of my downfalls is that I had a really insightful, intuitive sense of how to be grateful and what to expect and have positive expectations and gratitude, but I didn't end up doing that because the external world sounded so different from my internal world. And would you comment on how to maintain, like, reach gratitude and appreciation in our daily lives and forgiveness?
Well, I'll tell you what, either you're very connected to Yeshua or you're telepathic, because that was my message for today. So thank you for setting that up for me, and we will get on with that message in just a couple of minutes. And it's so nice to hear from you, Desmond. You sound great, and it's always a joy to connect with you and be in your presence.
I want to mention that I enjoyed your video. You look just so happy, and thanks for sending out some video footage, because it's nice to see your joyous face as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I love doing it, and I'll be doing more, so just stay tuned, and maybe next time I won't actually post the video so you see it immediately, because I know it's hard on some people to upload videos that are already present. I'll probably use links in the future where you can click on a link if you want to go and see my video message. That probably will work better for more people. But we're going to be working on that. So welcome to the future. And that was my way also of expressing gratitude to all of you. And that's what I really want to talk about on this Thanksgiving weekend, our special message for today. We come together, at least in the United States, and now in many countries around the world, because we have so many expatriates who still celebrate Thanksgiving in all the new places they live, and we have so many new citizens coming from other places in the world who then adapt to our holidays. And Thanksgiving is always a good thing to celebrate. I'm so glad we do actually celebrate it, because it's something that we all feel from time to time. But so often, as Desmond pointed out, the gratitude we feel internally is sometimes difficult to express externally, because we don't want to appear dependent or needy, or to have agendas that we present to other people, or maybe we feel that other people have agendas about what they've given us, and it doesn't really fit with what we're so grateful for. Maybe somebody gave us a challenge. They didn't mean to do something particularly uniquely good for us, but they gave us a challenge that changed our life. And it's easy to thank God for that challenge, because God understands. That's the great umbrella of consciousness we can all feed into and feel grateful for. But it's sometimes very hard to thank a competitor in the workplace for giving you a challenge that actually caused you to get the job he wanted. You see what I mean? Sometimes we do run into conflicts in the external world, matching it up with the internal gratitude we feel. At the same time, that just goes back to the first comment that I made in relation to this very, very powerful question I was asked about forgiveness. And that is that so many of our difficulties in relationships, in relating to life, are all tied up inside of storylines, story events. What you did inside a context, what somebody did to you, what somebody did for you, and how it all moved forward in a well, let's say a social context that involved other people, their goals, their purposes, their desires, their needs for gain or happiness, and yours, that maybe were not always in perfect synchrony. Somebody won, somebody lost. How do you deal with that inside the story? And then the story becomes the reality of your life. Why? Because you've been embedded in it for so long. When 23, 24, 40, 50 years of your life are tied up in a story, it's awfully hard to let go of it. But let me tell you something. The only day you will ever live is the one right now. It's the only day you've ever lived. And it takes a lot of creative imagination to rebuild all of those stories in your mind and fit them through the funnel of life called today. And if you don't think that takes creative power, then think again, because those things don't exist anymore. And let me tell you something else, my friends. You really don't know what those other people were thinking and feeling. You just know what you were thinking and feeling. You may say they were evil. They were harsh, uncaring, unfeeling people. Maybe they were. Maybe they didn't care about you. Maybe they were harsh and competitive and selfish. But you don't know the rest of their life. And you can't recreate the whole story because you weren't the whole story. When we try to create the whole story that involves the lives of other people, it actually creates, and I don't mean this in a judgmental way, and please pardon me if this sounds harsh, but it creates a kind of insanity in our life. Because you can't recreate somebody else's life. You can't live it in the first place. And you certainly can't recreate it. You can only recreate your connection to it. And if it was 10 years ago, that's taking up an awful lot of your energy to do that. And it must be terribly important to you that you would do it. Probably because a person is trying to find out what the heck happened. Why did this happen to me? And I'm not going to let go until I figure it out. And then when you figure it out, it was all only something that didn't benefit you in the first place. What if you took that same amount of energy and you used it on today? What have you lost? You've lost nothing because today is all you have. It's all you ever will have. Right now, here, this moment is what you have. It's what God has given you. And you have love inside you. Not outside there that should have been given to you by somebody else and they didn't. The only love you ever needed was the love God gave you inside yourself. When you discover that, you'll be free. And love is the great solvent of illusion. Love is the only thing that's not an illusion. In this universe, now I know that there is truth. Yes, there is truth. But truth is mostly at the very, very high levels of God perception, where we can simply be unconditional, objective, omniscient, all-knowing, all-caring, states of consciousness that are unavailable to most of us. Most of us live in some condition of illusion, except for love. And love is not an illusion. And I know somebody out there is saying, well, Glenda, you know, love is the only thing that ever broke my heart. And it broke my heart because it was an illusion. Not true. love is the one thing that kept a bad situation from really hurting you. Because you loved, you survived it. If you had been in that same situation without love, it really, really would have hurt you. It would have damaged you. It would have destroyed your faith, your will to live. Love is what carries on. It's what moves us on into the next optimistic state of being and state of living, that we can be there and hope and be grateful for our life. And that brings up this subject of gratitude that I really, really want to talk about on this Thanksgiving weekend, because we can feel it. You can feel gratitude all you want, but it's not fulfilled until it's acknowledged. I'm grateful for you. And that little video, that little message I gave you was my way of acknowledging you, of saying, yes, I'm so grateful for you. These Sunday blessings that I offer are expressions of gratitude to Yeshua for all he has given to me, and expressions of gratitude to you, passing them on. For my gratitude to you. Let me just ask you this. Now, if you won a giant lottery, would you be glum about it? I don't think so. I think you'd be pretty doggone happy. And you'd go tell your best friend. You'd tell everybody you love. And then you'd start working out a list of people you want to share it with, right? In other words, you wouldn't just sit privately in your room feeling grateful and put it in the bank and say, okay, well, that's going to sit there for a while, and at least I'll know I've got a cushion in the bank while I deal with all these problems in life. Come on. Give me a break. Just imagine. God walks in the door and says, I'm here to take away every pain you ever had, every sorrow you ever had, to heal the wounds of your body, your mind, your heart, the difficulties of your social life. What would you do? Would you be happy? Or would you say, well, I don't know, God, I think. I don't know if I can really believe you're here. I think I'd better hold on to these problems and just work through them, because it's all I've ever known and believed. And God's going to stand there scratching his head and saying, my child, I've offered you something wonderful. Are you grateful? And just imagine now yourself saying, well, okay, I know you're there. Can I just kind of use you as a safety net? Sort of like I'm a trapeze artist, and now you're going to be my safety net, so I can go out in the world and take all these risks I want to do and know that if I fall, somebody will catch me. And God will say, well, yeah, I will do that for you. But wouldn't you like to have more? And you say, yeah, but I don't know how to have more. And God says, give it to one another. Take what I give you and give it to one another. Make up your list right now. Who would you give the bounties of God to? Who would you acknowledge? Who would you thank? Who would you express your happiness to? Who would you let see you smile? what would you, just imagine, okay, let's just do more imagining. Let's just imagine right now you could take an elevator ride to heaven, and you knew you had a round-trip ticket, so it wasn't a one-way ticket. It was round-trip. But you could go there, and you could be there for several hours, and you could be pain-free, grief-free, free of all the mysteries of life. You could see the bounties of the universe, and then you would come back. Would you really, really come back and embrace all of these stories that have hurt you? Would you really do that? Now, is it possible? Is it possible? Just, and this is not spoken with any arrow pointed toward any one person, because I know some people this won't apply to, but some people it does apply to. Is it possible that you're hanging on to the bad things in life because it's easier to complain and cry and be angry and hate than it is to look at positive things that have been given you and laugh and be grateful and share and love and hug and create and move into the positive embrace of life? Is it possible that you're holding yourself back from the other side of the equation because it's just easier to blame somebody else or blame something else? Is it easier to be weak? Is it easier to hurt? Because actually, in order to receive the abundance of life, we have to not only be grateful, we have to show gratitude. You can't keep it just for yourself. You have to want other people to have it. That involves being creative. You have to want other people to have it. That involves sharing it. You have to want other people to be glad that you have it. That involves letting them see you smile. Oh, but my gosh, if they saw you smile, then they might not feel sorry for you anymore. You might lose all your leverage. Oh, that would be horrible. They would think you're okay. They wouldn't have to pay you back or do anything amazing for you, because you could do amazing things for yourself. What if you partnered with God? Would that be the challenge of your life? You better believe it. And it won't always be easy. Because God walks a high mountain. And God takes us to places that will strengthen our muscles and make us work. And sometimes we'll worry a little bit about how do I do this? How do I pay the bills? How do I get around the corner? But it's a whole lot different from the worry we have inside misery. The worry we have inside our partnership with God is the worry of, okay, how do I find within myself the resource I need to do what I have to do? And sometimes we say, well, you know, I just have to have faith and a good night's sleep and let God take care of the rest. Sometimes I just need to call a friend. In other words, you take the love that you have, whatever's there, whatever resource you have, and you make it a little bigger. You take whatever love you have, you make it a little bigger. You take whatever piece of bread you have, you cut it into pieces, and you share with others. like Yeshua did at the Last Supper. He gave it to his most beloved friends, and there wasn't much there, just a loaf of bread. That was their meal. But he gave it. And in the end, he gave everything he had out of love. And what happened? It expanded through the universe. When we give, it expands. When we hold back, what's the energy of holding back? Contraction. If you want to have less and less and less in your life of everything, including joy, including creativity, including opportunities, just hold back. Just go on, hold back. That's the energy of contraction. The energy of expansion is giving. And living that energy of giving, of sharing, of expansion, that is the living energy of gratitude. It's not what you write in a poem. It's not what you say at Grace on Thanksgiving Day. It's not what you write underneath a picture of a pumpkin. It's the energy of giving, sharing, loving, giving of yourself, being out there, partnering with God, partnering with life, allowing the Holy Spirit to come through you and move you to be more than yourself, more than you ever thought you could be. The energy of contraction is ultimately the energy of greed. And that, my friends, is the root of evil. Not to say that you're doing evil, but of evil being done to you. Of evil done to you that won't let go. Of hardship that was done to you that won't release. The energy of contraction is what sucks the thorn deeper into the skin of your life. Relax. Let go. And then don't put your attention on the thorn. Put your attention on what you can expand, give, love, offer, and make of yourself a greater presence in the world. And that's what the blessing is coming to you to help you do, to help you just be more than you thought you are, more than you thought you could be, to fan the flame of love in you, fan the flame of life in you, and in so doing, give you that spirit of expansion, of hope, of healing, of grace, that gives you greater opportunities for well-being. Now with that, let's begin our blessing today. The blessing is conducted as conduits by me and other blessing givers, but it's provided by the love of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the enduring grace of God that loves and accepts us unconditionally. I will say a prayer to Yeshua, and then you will pray your prayer, however you pray, for an approximate 3 minutes of conducting this very, very special energy of grace. Beloved, Son of God, the one who has taught us to find the love within ourselves and then offer it to the world, as a light into the world, as love from ourselves to others, to give back to God the love that we are, for God has given unto us the love that He is. As we give and give back, as we receive and give unto others, we are fanning the flame of life, the flame of love, and we have no attention left for the hardships, the grief, the hurt, and the misery that has so consumed our attention. By faith we are made whole, for by faith we are taken to the higher ground, to the ground of loving, of sharing, and of knowing that God is with us, partnering in life and calling us to a higher life. Thank you, O beloved Son of God, for being also a Son of Man, walking among us as one of us, showing us exactly how to do this, showing us how to love, to grow, to forgive, and to give. We now ask for your blessing, that we may find this special place of grace and loving within our hearts, our body, our soul, and our eternal presence and essence in the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Blessings be to God. Now go and rest. Assimilate and receive. And be grateful for all that you've received. Allow it to become part of your body, heart, soul, and being. I wish you a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. So, bye-bye for now. I love you too, and I look forward to being with you.